Good evening, everyone. Thank you for being here. I'd like to call this meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Avalos?
Here.
Mr. Davis?
Here.
Mrs. DeGracius?
Here.
Mrs. Hickey?
Here.
Mr. Moore?
Here.
Dr. Thompson?
Here.
Ms. Williams is not yet here.
Okay. Second order of business is to recognize visitors and invite comments from the public. Is there anyone signed up to speak?
Roster right now.
Okay. Diana Jacques, would you like?
Sure, shall I begin?
Sure.
Okay.
Anywhere in the center.
Oh, okay.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hi, I just wanted to share a comment that was came sort of under my viewing, I guess, through just discussing questions and ideas with fellow D90 parents. A parent who couldn't be here kind of shared a comment with me that I thought would be interesting to read and brings up some questions and points. So the parent wrote, "I understand you all are going to talk tonight about the process of strategic planning. That will inform the direction the district goes in the next 5 years. I also understand you are putting together a committee and that the time commitment to be part of that is extensive. I wanted to ask that you address in your comments tonight how you will incorporate community input on an ongoing basis once the strategic planning commences. Are you having focus groups? Are you doing report outs once the priorities have been identified? I know that full-day kindergarten came up in a survey you all did during the last strategic planning process, but was not addressed in a more comprehensive way. I am also wondering where serving lunch and providing before and after care fits in with the priorities you have identified: assessment, curriculum, instruction, community involvement, facilities, human resources, and technology. Perhaps you would consider adding a category, community services or family supports. Finally, I am very interested to hear how you have chosen and recruited the people to participate in the process, and will those people be identified? I look forward to hearing more about the process tonight."
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure. We're going to hear a lot about the strategic planning process. Let's see. Next agenda item is the approval of the agenda. Can I get a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Dr. Thompson?
Yes.
Mr. Moore?
Yes.
Mrs. Hickey?
Yes.
Mrs. DeGracius?
Yes.
Mr. Davis?
Yes.
Mrs. Avalos?
Yes.
Okay, moving on. And so we are in the final year of the current strategic plan, and tonight's presentation is about the strategic planning overview for the next 5 years. As board members, we know that our strategic plan is a living, breathing document that we refer to throughout at least the past 4 years that I've been on the board, and I appreciate the focus that it's given us over the past 4 years at least. So I look forward to hearing about the next strategic planning process.
Great.
Dr. Diamond.
Thank you for passing it off to us. So I'm going to be joined tonight actually to speak a little bit about this by Dr. Paul Lee, our Director of Curriculum Instruction. What we're hoping to do is really great actually to have the stage set a bit by our public comment, because what we're hoping to do tonight is share some of the kind of the tent poles around the strategic planning plan. We will have, I think, most of your questions are able to be answered tonight, but admittedly some won't. And the reason for that is that if this process is genuinely going to reflect the involvement and the voice of the stakeholders who participate, it's pretty presumptuous to know what it's actually going to look like in terms of what comes out the other end. So again, I'm hoping we're going to answer some of your questions tonight, and if there's any residual ones, we'd like to respond either via email or later. So as our landing slide, you'll see our partnership is with the Consortium for Educational Change. This is an organization that's actually housed here in Chicagoland area, but it does work not only in Chicago and Illinois, but actually now across the country, partnering with school districts on management, best practices around governance, strategic planning, establishing strong internal processes. One of the reasons that they're a really attractive partner is because their foundational principle is that school districts are more successful, higher achieving, and really better when management and teacher associations work in partnership. partnership. And obviously that's a philosophy that's well reflected in how our Board of Ed and our community generally has worked in the past. So we're glad to have a partnership with them. Let's see if I can hit the right button here. All right, so for tonight, the purpose of this presentation will be for folks in attendance to gain an understanding of the strategic planning process that will be presented for us with through the CEC, know how this process is different from some other strategic planning processes, and then talk a little bit about roles and responsibilities. So the very basis, of course, of continuous improvement is predicated on a few key principles. I've never personally seen a strategic plan that was worth its salt that didn't address values, mission, and vision. The CEC process that we'll be embarking upon later this fall and over the course of the winter into early spring certainly has these as foundational elements. Guiding questions direct our identification of each of these areas. So when you're trying to discern what is an organization's, or in this case, a school community's vision or strategies, these are the questions that we'll be asking to try to determine what that actually is. The process itself has lots of moving parts. If there was ever a slide in this presentation that could potentially risk confusing anyone, myself included, it would be this one. Nothing like a flowchart with arrows and different colors. But at the end of the day, the different components you see reflected here on the screen are the ones that we'll be moving the strategic planning to. Asking these key questions right at the top about who we're aspiring to be, where we currently exist, how it will look when we arrive, what we're learning together, these are the questions that the team will have to discern. And then to do that, we'll be moving through the different elements of the process. As with the last strategic plan, which as Mr. Moore mentioned, took place, gosh, it's hard to believe now, almost 5 years ago, this is a very deliberate, intentional process. And so you'll hear in just a moment, there are actually 5 different meetings that will occur with the full strategic planning team. An introductory meeting, which is kind of an orientation, lasts about 2 hours. 3 full day work events that will be centered around key concepts. And then a culminating kind of wrap-up meeting that will take about 2 hours again in the evening later this spring. Actually, it's late winter. The purpose in all of that is that by early March, the strategic planning team will be hoping to bring the board a draft plan for their first consideration. And working in reverse, the ultimate goal would be that the board would be comfortable approving a final iteration of that plan before the end of the year. So, if you're going to be successful, you need to know also what sometimes doesn't work. And there are some reasons why strategic plans are not successful. Some of us have maybe been involved in community strategic planning, or you've been maybe involved in this at work. And we know that if you don't commit, if you don't have a plan that holds you accountable, if you don't have stakeholder input and feedback, if you don't have a representative planning group, you're going to end up with a plan that doesn't really reflect the values and the priorities of the organization. And most importantly, it makes it really hard to implement that plan moving forward. So we are thoroughly concerned with making sure that we don't fall into any of these traps. And we know the CEC, the facilitator, whose name is Mary Sobdal, has been doing this for many years, will be a good partner in making sure that doesn't happen. So the 5 components that the full team will participate in, these dates are now correct. They are floating a little bit on the back end. Again, there's a chance that something could happen with the facilitator, or for some reason, gosh, we could have inclement weather, any number of things could occur. But we've almost written these dates in stone, and certainly the first two are. You'll see again, the first and last represent evenings. The 3 middle dates, the data retreat, the vision retreat, and the setting direction retreat will take place off campus. We're trying to find the right partner for that. Last time we did this, we worked at Concordia University. Maybe some reasons that may or may not actually be workable for us this time, but we'll be taking the group off-site so that we can have a dedicated workspace. All right, so we had some questions already about the membership. Where will these participants come from? I'll let you speak to that.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. So CEC recommends that we look at one-third, a third model is what they use. So they talked about a third certified and non-certified staff, a third management, which would be administrators, board members, and certainly parents and community. I think we are looking for also high school students, so I think our target is, what, 30, 34?
Plus the six high school.
Plus six high school for a total of 40. The most important thing is that we have certainly a space that can accommodate everybody and allows for six people around a table, because really six people around a table is really optimal in terms of having conversations that are productive and targeted. This is a sample of what that makeup could look like. D90 will certainly have its own, but this is a sample. It gives you an idea of what that representation can look like. The high-level piece really is you want to make sure that you've got representation across schools, across grade levels, and across all stakeholders, so it's truly representative when you have people that are doing the deep dives into the data and the vision and participating in the retreats are really representing all voices within the community and across the school districts. At this point, we have not reached out to people yet, but we will be shortly. There are two teams. One is the strategic planning team, and then there is a core team. The strategic planning team is the group that is going to attend all the meetings that you saw on the previous slide, beginning in, I believe, November and ending in March. And what's really important when we go to recruit people is we want to make sure that they really understand what their role and responsibility is, because this is a commitment for people to participate. There is work not only during the day of a six-hour meeting when you're doing deep dives, but there's also things to read in between in ways that people need to do some background information or researching before they come together. So it's important work that we're going to be doing it together. The core team are also members of the planning team, but they're a smaller group of about five or six people, and they are the ones that are going to do sort of the debriefing after the long sessions, and this core team will work with the facilitator. They sort of serve as a feedback loop to presenter to make any adjustments. To the one thing we don't want to do when we're in a big meeting is have 36 or 40 people wordsmithing documents, so really that core team is going to do that work in a smaller group and present it back to the planning team when they get back together. So they will operate on both capacities, but on a much smaller number of people. So steps in the process. Before we do anything, before we even get to the mission, vision, and values piece, is to do an environmental scan. We want to make sure that we are determining what information do we need, what should we be looking at, and what's going to inform us as we move through our process, because the data is what's going to drive the rest of it. So that's going to be really important in terms of what pieces of information we need and from who. How are we going to ask people to participate, which is one of the questions that came from public comment. And really do a thorough self-assessment of where we are currently in order to be visionary about where we want to go over the next five-year period. Certainly a huge piece of that is the community engagement and the feedback and making sure that we gather all that we need, and then we're making refinements based on that. One of the first meetings that we have, it's going to be a two-hour meeting, and it's going to be the orientation of the planning team. And essentially what that means is over the two-hour period we're all together is we want them to meet each other and become acquainted with one another, because they're going to be working together extensively, having a clear sense of what their roles and responsibilities are, making sure that they're prepared to commit, because this is not the kind of process where you attend some meetings and not others. So we want to make sure that people have the full scope of what this is going to look like. Obviously the process. What is really nice about CEC and the evolution of Google Docs is it's incredibly organized. So there's going to be a strategic planning website, so people can access that anytime they need to access materials and resources that they're going to need for the next meeting. So it's very neatly packaged and it's very efficient, which is very nice. So the data retreat will be one of the first retreats that we have. Stop me if I keep going, because I'm
no longer
following my postcard. So, okay, let me save and make sure. Environmental scan. Okay. Data retreat. So this is going to be a full day, a full six-hour day, where the teams are going to get together, or the planning team is going to get together, and review what they have. It's an opportunity to take a look at what are we doing well. If we tweak something just a little bit, what can we be doing better? What are some barriers that we may be encountering, which is essentially what a SWOT analysis is. You're examining your strengths, your weaknesses, your opportunities, and your threats. So taking a deep scan on all of that, and not only what are we seeing in our data, but what is the perception out there? What do people think, or what are people saying that we need to be aware of and we need to take into account when we dig into our data. And being very clear about that is really important. So these are just an example of some guiding questions that we could look at or utilize when we're examining the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, or threats, which is an important part of the process to get started. The second one is the vision retreat, which I believe is
it is. And the reason that that SWOT analysis that Allison just spoke to is so important is because it ensures that we take the time to stop and consider the current state. It's really difficult and probably even borderline inappropriate to be envisioning a future or even aspiring to certain goals or outcomes if you don't know what the current state is today. The fact that we do a SWOT analysis is also one of the things that makes it really important. We have folks from different stakeholder groups at the table because different individuals, be it voices from parents, faculty, staff, administrators, even students, obviously see things differently. They've experienced District 90 differently. And we're hoping that by having some of those representative kind of roles and voices at the table, it will help ensure that some of those different angles are covered. For clarity, you know, just a moment ago, Allison talked a little bit about the breakdown of the likely participants. And you noted up there was a number besides parent organizations and parents. So parent organizations that would likely be providing us with participants would be groups like the PTOs, Green for Good, the Special Education Parent Advisory Council, established groups that we know that are doing work that's currently aligned with the district's strategic priorities, but reflect either a flavor of District 90 or an understanding maybe of experience with District 90 that may need to be represented at the table. The hardest thing about that is that you saw how quickly those numbers added up to 40. It has to be a workable number of people, or obviously it's not functional. And so really being thoughtful and intentional about how we have folks come into the room, trying to ensure as best as possible the different viewpoints are represented while not necessarily overthinking that, and at the same time, not asking people to have to play to a role, because there can be many students who potentially could see things that their parents or even the teachers maybe could see and state that as part of their experience or their knowledge base. They don't have to be a teacher to speak to that or have to be a parent to speak to that. So I wanted to stress that. We aren't expecting that someone's going to come into the room reflective of that role to have to speak as someone who sees the world through that lens. Probably a really overdone but important point. The goal of the second day, again, is to think together about what an optimal future could look like. What do we aspire District 90 to be? What would our perfect iteration of ourselves feel like? Importantly, when you're looking at a time frame of, you know, 5 or more years, you have to think through the fact that the organization's going to change. In the first strategic plan that District 90 did, now 5 years ago, we went from kind of having a vision of the implementation of instructional technology in District 90 to full-on one-to-one deployment across grade levels, just within that span of time. And you think about the way in which that changed everything we do here in District 90 in terms of teaching and learning. So you have to ensure that your plan, while it's long enough term that, you know, people see the stability woven throughout, it offers flexibility so that your organization can adapt within that time period. Of course, aligning mindset, a key concept here in District 90 that we've been focusing on over the last couple of years, particularly growth mindset, to those ideas, mission, vision, core values, and goals is really critical. Sometimes we think we all share the same way of thinking, and it is important to acknowledge that within a complex organization, there are many different perspectives. And so trying to discern or kind of distill down what a shared consensus around mindset is no small task. Another one of the great reasons it's important to have an outside facilitator who doesn't, you know, bring baggage to the process. So then there's the setting direction retreat, and that starts to ask the specific question, how do we get to the vision? What's the path look like? And that can be tricky because, as we know, complex organizations have lots of moving parts, and importantly, priorities. Determining the highest priority strategies is probably one of the most important tasks that this team can do. Now, we're not wedded. There was a question earlier in public comment about what the priority goal areas were in the last plan and whether or not there might be room for additional ones or changes. And the answer is absolutely. Some school districts that work with the CEC have had as few as 3 strategic priority goals. Some have had 6 or 7. CEC recommends trying to keep it to a manageable number so that you can really keep the work focused. But the group will determine what those priority goals are and how the kind of areas of work focus cluster together. Those aren't, you know, necessarily pre-slugged. SMART goals are what they are. You know, they do come with some limitations, but I think the board would agree, probably, if asked, as we've been reporting out to the community and the Board of Ed over the last 5 years, they provided a really good pathway for us to ensure that as we implement those priority goals, we do so in a, you know, time-bound, resource-based, and accountable way. We plan to use the SMART goal process again with our action objective planning process. The nice thing about them, as is noted here, is that they can help us to align the work and make sure that we are, again, holding each other accountable. So what do we need to do? This is the big question as we're preparing to launch this. To close the gaps, not just academic gaps, but the bigger gap, which is the gap between who we are today and who we aspire to be, what our vision is.
Is that you or Larry?
That would definitely be Larry. He's the fittest of the group. Fortunately, there's not an after picture, because you don't know how this ends. But to do that well, we've got to be intentional and we've got to be deliberate. I think the board and the community know that one of the reasons the last strategic plan largely was successful is because it was thought out. Specific questions were asked. This is an example. This is not a District 90 sample goal, of course. This is a sample from another school district. But it kind of illustrates for you how the strategic planning team can go through a process of identifying what are the kind of the sub-activities that you want to consider and then potentially implement in order to get to the bigger goal that you're pursuing. So that brings us to the plan draft. Is that you?
I have one left.
You have one card left?
The 5 most important factors is the card I have left.
So I'll take this. This is where the board's role will become most important. So the core team, of course, will work to refine based upon the strategic full strategic planning team's direction what that plan draft will look like. The strategic planning team in full will send them off on their way. And the core team is a cross-section of the strategic planning. It's comprised of the facilitator, again, Perry. I will be a part of it. Allison will be a part of it. Dawn Simmons, our communications coordinator, will have a member of the union, and we will have an administrator. And the goal will be that we take everything the strategic planning team has put together, all the work that they've done, and put it into the package. Now, it's important that the strategic planning team has the chance to see that and ensures that it does reflect what they were directing the core planning team to do with their, you know, their work process. But the draft plan, once it's given the green light from the full strategic planning team, is what will come to the board. And genuinely, our goal throughout is that, as Allison referred earlier, there will be numerous touch points between when the work starting in November and early March when this draft plan comes forward, such that the board will be updated monthly on the work and the progress that's going on. The community will be updated on through the website on the different tasks that have been completed and how those things are moving forward. Community engagement will be an important part. We will be using data from some of the instruments we've already administered, as well as additional data. Community already has a very strong voice in District 90. It's something we're really proud of. The Inclusiveness Advisory Board survey data is valuable. Five Essentials data is valuable. We are planning to administer a survey called the District Management Group survey, which will look at governance and central kind of office administration. And we have plans to administer kind of a short snippet survey to, again, families and staff that's specific to the strategic plan. but there will be, you know, opportunities for strategic plan team members, I shouldn't say opportunities, I should say expectations, to be going back to the groups that they're representing and reporting out, garnering additional input and bringing it back to the full team. So it is an iterative process. I want to stress, though, it's intended to distill out the kind of broad brush goals, vision, core values, things like that, from a very large, complex organization. So an individual who participates in this process with a very finite, specific agenda or purpose is likely to be disappointed. Someone who says, gosh, I really want to see the school district implementing a Korean language program at kindergarten level, and that's why I'm going to get involved in the strategic planning process, because I can be a voice for them. This process at the high level is not intended to take those individual agenda items and push them forward. What it's intended to do is determine what the community's values and priorities are, our shared principles, our shared beliefs, then put them into those categories that become the priority goal areas and bring them back to the board so the board can then subsequently authorize the administration to do the work of the day. And that work of the day in the past has typically been parsed out on an annual basis, where the board at the board retreat and the administrative team at the administrative retreat, based upon the board's direction, will look at that year's goals, or I should say objectives, based upon the priority goal areas and the needs of the district at that time, investigate, potentially, you know, allocate resources and implement, and then the iterative process requires that there's accountability on those. So the SMART goals has a reporting function twice a year, typically mid-year, on whatever those objectives are, and then at the end of the year to update the community on how the progress is being made. And an example of one of those goals, if a priority goal area was continue to focus on the importance of languages as part of the larger district program, could be very well an objective that says, let's go investigate the implementation of, you know, Korean program in kindergarten. But that's not part of the strategic planning process. That's far too, you know, detailed to be something when you're, as part of a process when you're trying to look at kind of the big picture pursuit of the district over a 5-year period of time. So I don't know if I clarified that point properly. I don't know if I maybe said too much, but it's tricky. Final meeting of the plan team, of course, will be that 2-hour evening at night. We'll talk about any changes likely that the Board of Ed would want to see, garner consensus of the group, and then finalize the recommendation. And at that point, again, there should be no surprises for either the community, the staff, or the Board of Education about what's coming out the other end. Now, certainly the board may have some recommendations on how they'd like to see language changed, or certainly have the option of sending the whole thing back to the drawing board. But the hope would be that any changes that need to be made are being made over time, and that when you bring the final product to you, you'll feel like it really does represent the district's interests. So, what is the deliverable? Hopefully, as in the past, it'll be a very high-level, one-page strategic plan. One page could mean front and back, as it did last time. As we joked today, font size is negotiable, but it is intended to be a very high-level plan that talks about strategic goals and priorities. It does direct the subsequent work in all of those smaller kind of finite objectives that the district will then be pursuing the coming 5 years, but it's a high-level document. Supporting documents can be attached that outline some of the finer details of the things that are addressed.
Result, whatever that may end up looking like, is that we can live it. It needs to be something that is obviously responsive to the planning team and what's surfaced with that. And typically that goes through looking at student achievement, culture, and when we talk about culture, it's work and learning culture, and then it's finance, facilities, and technology. So when we start framing and thinking about what our starting point would be, looking at data, doing an environmental scan, it's usually those three buckets. Well, with that, though, in order to make this effective, it needs to be structured in a way that the system can support it. So there's a systems level of organization to this that allows us to build in feedback loops, routinely revisit the goals, have benchmarks, have opportunities to come and share progress with the board, and work in our teams. The last 5 years, we've worked on action objective teams to really drill down and ensure that we have mechanisms where we're revisiting the goals on a regular basis and reporting back on our progress. I mean, key to this is the district leadership, and leadership, it's not just district, it's teacher leadership, it's building leadership, it's board leadership, it's the strategic plan is intended to move the district forward. If we were going to stay in place and continue to do the same things we've always done, we wouldn't need a strategic plan. So it really is something that we collectively, as a District 90 culture and community, are responsible for being part of that change and helping to support that change and move that change forward. So it really is about continuous improvement. And
we're lucky in a place that we're in a place, all of us, you know, as a community, that's valued, because it is how we continue to, you know, improve and get better. But it does require change, and it requires adaptation, and it requires commitment. And we're grateful, certainly, to the board for supporting this process. Just because we know it worked last time doesn't mean there's a guarantee it will work again. So we're grateful for your.
Well, speaking of last time, being at this table 4.5 years ago with some other board members, not just the document that was presented, but the people who came to present, the process was a lot of what they talked about. And then we had board members, I think, who were actually on that strategic planning committee. So it really was a community-wide and diverse group that came and presented, even though only a few people spoke. I think like the whole committee came to make sure that we saw what they had done. In terms of change over time, I think at the adoption of the last strategic plan, we were looking for ways for teachers to adopt new apps and instructional technology. And now in 2019, we have our third graders creating their own apps, right? And so it has to be malleable in terms of what we do in the classroom. So I appreciate that. Sorry to interrupt.
You didn't, yeah. I mean, we're excited about the format because it does provide that flexibility. I'll share that the 2010 District 90 strategic plan was 42 pages in length. It was highly prescriptive. There were certainly a lot of time and effort went into it, but it was unfortunately inflexible. And by 2012, the board, and I don't think we have anyone here who was on the board at that time, the board already was having to make changes in direction because it didn't allow it. So we are excited about this model, and admittedly, like any other kind of consensus building exercise or task, it's important that we all acknowledge there's an element of imperfection to this. We're not able to do things perfectly. We won't be able to capture people's feelings perfectly. We won't be able to ensure that they're all represented at the process perfectly. But we feel like having worked with CEC before and knowing that they do this for many school districts, some similar to D90, some entirely different, that they have a lot of expertise to help lead us through it. And, you know, today we met with Perry, the facilitator, and it was really complimentary to hear his perspective about having a chance to work in District 90 and with not only a staff and administration and board, but explicitly a community that really values education with a strong culture and has a lot to say. Wants their school district to continue to get better. So that's I think that's a compliment to everyone in the school community.
Can you define community?
That's a great question.
We have a parent side, so what's the community side?
Well, that's a great question. So when I talk personally about school community, I'm talking about all of us, anyone who has any investment in our schools, which would include parents, children, faculty, staff, administrators, investors, which would be taxpayers who live in the community, but maybe don't have children. Schools. It could mean people who work in River Forest. We send out our communication to the full community 4 times a year. It goes to all households and all businesses. So school community can be a really broad concept. But for the sake of this, we in the past had several individuals that have kind of key organizational roles outside of D9D within the broader community. So someone like the director of the Room Forest Public Library, the director of the community center, park district's director, a representative from a Park River Forest High School. These are the kinds of individuals that we're talking about being on the table. Yes, ma'am.
I just want to bring up something else. Like, even though we arrive at this overhead document that kind of drives the direction that we go for the next 5 years, we still, as a board, vote on recommendations and solutions and so forth that are driven by that document. It's not like, oh, we're going to do this. Oh, it's a done deal. You know, whatever. We still vote and direct as a board, every outcome that document overviews.
Very definitely.
Okay.
Yes.
I just want to make sure everyone understands.
It's a guide for us. It's a chance for us to kind of reestablish that the past shared goals and principles are still kind of what our community values. But there's a lot of workaday responsibilities for obviously the administration and our governance team.
Right.
Individual decisions that come up during the period of 5 years. A perfect example of this, the Board of Education really started to prioritize their equity work after the last strategic plan was finalized. And the Board of Ed talked at length about the importance of having that as a key value or key principle woven into the strategic plan, and so they changed it, and they incorporated language pertaining to equity. They did the same more recently, incorporating language pertaining to sustainability. So, you know, the certainly the school community owns the plan, mm-hmm. but really it's the board's plan. I mean, our governance team is kind of leads us forward, and so you might find that it's perfect next spring. I'm sure it will be, but it needs refinement soon. There are school districts that don't wait the full 5 years to re-engage with the strategic plan. They do a five-year plan that they re-up in 3 years. So there's a lot of different ways to slice and dice that.
And back to this, that idea of, you know, making decisions and keeping our eyes on the prize. And we keep an executive scorecard summary that kind of checks when we do make decisions, when we do implement change, when we do meet those goals in many different ways. We keep that online for the public to view, and we definitely reference the strategic plan when we're making decisions during these meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of accountability and board decisions and this loop of, you know, gathering community and all stakeholder input, implementing the plan, trying to meet that vision, through our actions and our decisions. It's a loop that goes back to parents like ourselves and others in the community and non-parents alike.
Right. And it's also important to recognize that some of those initiatives can take several years to put into motion too. Like a lot of, you know, some of the things that we've done with sustainability and, you know, some of the work we've done with equity have taken years leading up to the actual rubber meeting the road.
There are elements in the current strategic plan that conventionally you would say we never finished. And those, honestly, are the things that are kind of the foundational basis of our work, the teaching and learning, the curriculum development, the implementation of standards-based learning. Those are things that, as you said, you know, for organizations to do well and thoughtfully, they are not quick hits. There are elements that have come from the last strategic plan, as an example, that were. I don't mean to diminish the amount of work that, for example, Anthony and Larry and other members on the resources team did on this, but when the school district established a plan to look at furniture and classroom configurations, it was really a fairly finite process. You know, the team looked at different seating configurations as they were considering hardware seating purchases, different classroom configurations, some research on best practice. They talked to some teachers about how teachers were using instructional spaces in the classrooms. They had a recommendation. The board funded the purchase and it was implemented. And in the subsequent year, they went back and they took a look at how well those new furniture purchases were working for teachers. They considered that in the purchase of the next round of furniture acquisition. So some things are finite and they can be quick hits, but you know, this is a pretty complex endeavor, this whole educational business, and it does require the kind of consistency that D90 has benefited from over the years with a board governance team that identifies the priorities, makes sure they align with the community, and gives the organization the time and space to do the work thoughtfully. And again, that's another blessing that comes from this. I think it helps to center all of us.
How many meetings?
Here, formally for the full team, five.
5 6-hour meetings.
Two-hour meeting orientation, 2 hour in the back end to finalize the plan. The three meetings in the middle will be 7 hours with an hour for lunch and three.
Midday.
I think 8:30 to 3:30.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question about the recruitment? Can you give examples of how people are being recruited? I know that at the Roosevelt Open House, it was like mentioned, Larry mentioned of we're doing the strategic plan. If anyone's interested in participating, I'll be honest that I did not go to the Lincoln auditorium speech, so it may or may not have been mentioned there. But what beyond kind of at the school where those announcements are made, how are people being notified?
The main conduit at each school has been the PTO to solicit our parent participants, if that's the question.
Mm-hmm.
We do have the parent organizations also represented, so some of the ones that I described earlier, which are populated by parent leaders.
Mm-hmm.
There are, I believe, a couple of different seats, so to speak, that are designated for at-large, which means individuals who have come forward as a result of those announcements.
Mm-hmm.
We've tried to be very careful at PTO meetings. I've spoken at PTO meetings as well about the fact that we're embarking on this to make sure we communicated that we know we can't have everyone who might want to attend. So if people wanted to do outreach to us, we had taken their name and we're holding that on the side. We have a couple of individuals who have represented different perspectives that we felt, again, were really important to see at the table. And the nice thing is that CEC gives some prerogative to the district to invite certain individuals into the room.
Mm-hmm.
But we're really trying to do that intentionally and in a fair manner. Want to make sure that all the voices are there, but admittedly, with 40 seats, we know that we're not going to have as many people in as we would wish.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the input, the engagement, the community engagement piece is really critical. You know, when people receive outreach from the district that asks for their opinion or their insight, to feel like they can be honest, to feel like they can share that, and that it's not going to fall on deaf ears, I think is a really important thing.
Also, not everyone's going to be able to make those. Daytime meetings are very difficult.
And that was largely because that's the time that works for the facilitator. But admittedly, that can be a challenge. So, actually, one of the greatest challenges, honestly, is for us to be able to solicit the high schoolers. Because obviously we value their education, we want them in class, but so we're trying to think of creative ways that we could have them either maybe in most of the meetings or different portions of meetings without having to have them there all 3 days. But boy, their voices are important. And if there's anyone in the room, we can count on to be honest.
That's true.
Which is why they need to be there. Well, I know we spent a lot of time on this subject, but we felt like it was important answer the questions you had. We are excited to embark on it. I have to compliment the administrative team. They sat through a pretty lengthy information session today and asked some really good questions. But I think everyone has even though all of the administrators, of course, won't be on the strategic planning team, everyone has a good understanding of the work that will be done. And many of our administrators will be very busy, even if they're not on the team, bringing together that key data that the full team will be working on and making some considerations. So thinking about how we can do that and get that out into the hands of the strategic planning team in a way that really reflects who we are today is no small thing. And make it consumable. You could certainly just do a dump of information. That doesn't help anybody.
I did it the last time.
Did you?
And I think learning and lightning, you learn a lot about the process of how things are done. And process may sound bad, but I think it's a need, because if not, like you said, you'd just be doing all kinds of erratic stuff. You get a lot of questions answered, and I would hope that the community and the parents could take that information and carry it back to their specific groups and their friends and their neighbors and things like that, just to kind of enlighten people on, you know, how things are done. And I mean, we're all elected board members, but when we get here, we figure out how things are done. We don't come in with an axe to grind. So it's more like just, you know, the process of how things are done and getting what you feel important is accomplished. And a lot of people came in with a lot of ideas, and there were a lot of administrators, like you said, the park district and the community center, and everyone else kind of explained to everyone why this would work, why it wouldn't work, and you know, in the end, we come up with a strategic plan. Very enlightening.
Did you find any, as a participant, were there any elements of it that you found actually disappointing? That you thought to yourself, gosh, I wish we'd done this differently? Or in the end, did you feel like the outcome kind of justified the product, if that makes sense?
I think we moved along very well.
Did it? Okay.
We didn't complete everything, but I think we moved along very well. Okay. And just taking on my own personal things that weren't on the table, but I don't have any hard feelings about that. Everyone's
we had some pretty good lunches. Lunches were right.
Exactly. It was Korean immersion.
All right. Any other concerns or questions? Anything?
Thank you, Dr. Kahn and Dr. Holly, for
articulating
the process for us.
More to come.
So, I guess just one last comment myself is that, you know, we talk about the process, and we really can't wait to see the product, right? And the last 5 years, the process is one that brings in the whole community, and then we just talked about how, you know, we are in charge of implementing it. But if you look at the 2015-2020 strategic plan, one of these shared values is that we believe that social emotional competencies foster a positive and healthy school district and culture. And so hats off to the community, all of the volunteers in the PTO who do mindfulness. That has nothing, there's no board decision about getting parents together to meet these goals like our parents have. So hats off to the community as well. With that said, can I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All right.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.